Hello, this is Robert Rickover. I'm an Alexander Technique teacher in Lincoln, Nebraska. I teach also in Toronto, Canada. My guest today is Robert Leda, who is an Alexander Technique teacher of many years in the Boston area. And we're going to talk today about his recent knee replacement surgery and how the Alexander Technique has helped him to recover from the operation. And Bob, we're going to call you Bob today.
Yeah, right? That'll be good. Yeah.
Bob, welcome to the show.
Great.
And good to talk to you. It's been many years since we've chatted. Could you begin by giving our viewers or listeners a short description of the Alexander Technique?
Well, I'll give you the one sentence description that I use when people ask me, and that the Alexander Technique is concerned with how you do what you do and who you are when you do it. You know,
perfect.
And we just take off from there.
Exactly. It's about process.
Yes, absolutely.
It's about
absolutely.
Process. So, from talking to you before, it's been now roughly 7 weeks since your surgery.
Yeah, that's right.
How are things going?
They're going well. I mean, I'm a little frustrated because I want to do more. But tissue takes time, and you know, we have to live with all of that. But I can, you know, go up the stairs, down the stairs, you know, ride my bike, do all of that kind of stuff. So that's very encouraging.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
So you're an Alexander Technique teacher, as
yep.
we mentioned. How have Alexander Technique ideas and principles been useful to you in this particular instance?
Well, I think the one that's sort of the most, that I got the most mileage out of is that Alexander work is about the whole person, the whole mm-hmm. self. Mm-hmm. So it's not so much that my knee is healing, it's that I am healing.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
that, yes, there's a tremendous focus on where my knee is, no doubt, but it affects all of me. And I've been struck by how expensive, as far as your physicality is concerned, how expensive it is to heal. It's a very absorbing process. There's not that much room for, or as much as normal for creative thinking or doing this or that. It's the energy of yourself after such a, you know, serious, trauma is too strong a word, but I'm going to use it. A serious trauma goes into replenishing yourself, and you have to accept that.
Mm-hmm. And were you able, like initially the first few days or first couple of weeks, to actually directly apply some Alexander Technique?
Yeah, that was when there was a very big payoff. Mm-hmm. Because what they want us to do is start moving immediately.
Right.
The rationale for that is and there's pain involved, and you know, and they know that. But mm-hmm. what they're trading is pain at that time for the not developing scar tissue later on. So
right,
it's something that
right.
really pays off in the long run.
Right.
So with such such an amount of pain involved, there's for me a tendency to, you know, sort of stay away from it however I can, right?
Yeah.
The more I was able to count on the support that I get from my surroundings and from gravity and connection to the greater world, the more I was able to very gently breathe through all of this, the faster my recovery seemed to happen. What the nurses and physical therapists were telling me that I wound up getting rid of crutches earlier than expected, getting rid of my cane earlier than expected, that kind of thing. And I think it was the focus on all of me, not just my knee, that really helped that. I mean, and I can give you some physical examples if you want them.
Well, before you do that, was there any specific thinking process that you could share with our listeners that would give them some idea about what you mean by focusing on all of you and your surroundings, I assume, as
okay,
well?
Yeah. When you take a step up a stair, right, you know, and you're supposed to lead with the old knee and come back downstairs with the new knee. Well, when you take a step on a stair and your foot meets the stair, you can either tend to sort of brace on it like so, right, or follow through with it and spring off the stair so that you can move the other leg. And that connection to springiness and the support of the stair, rather than trying to make all the support come through my leg, I think is a perfect example of what you're asking. And it's much, much, much easier on the leg and the rest of you.
So would you use a direction, an Alexander direction in that process?
I don't. We won't go into a long discussion about that, but I believe those directions are inherent. So I listen for them, absolutely. And I listen for what grace I have, even though I'm in agony and stuff hurts and, you know, stuff is injured. So I try to let that grace guide my movement and have energy come up through the center of my head so that I'm, you know, kind of pulsing like this all along.
So it's kind of an indirect Alexander technique self-direction process.
Yes. It's tapping into it rather than trying to evoke it through language. Yeah, absolutely.
Right. And I think you mentioned some specific, I guess we could call it thoughts or procedures you use. Could you say a little about that?
Well, here's one interesting one. Yeah, it's a very peculiar feeling that you get, at least that I got, after this knee replacement. It's like somebody put a bowling ball in my thigh. You know, there's this big blockage. And the physical therapy exercise that worked the best for me was getting onto an exercise bike. And so you're spinning around like this. Well, I still have a bowling ball in my thigh. So there's a point when I'm moving, when I'm pressing up against the bowling ball. So rather than trying to sort of stretch it or push through it, what I did was let the force that hit the bowling ball spread throughout everywhere, rather than having it all concentrated in this place where I was feeling resistance. And the effect of this was that the bowling ball got smaller and smaller and smaller, but it was still, you know, allowed to be in place because the swelling was doing something for me. But I tried to sense the effect in as many places as I could so it would all get dispersed. Did that make sense the way I was saying?
Yeah, well, I mean, perhaps another way of describing that, and let me know if you would agree, is that you were consciously putting your attention on all of you or a large part of you as you were doing that, whereas, as you say, the temptation would be to focus on this lump. Or, that's where presumably any pain that was there would be most dramatic. But you're saying by focusing on your whole self more, it allowed that pain to dissipate to a certain extent.
Much better said than what I said, Robert. But yes, that's right. That's right.
That's right. Right. Well, I mean, that's kind of an Alexander technique ish approach to.
Oh, I think so.
Your situation. So some other things that you.
Yeah. Let me. Okay, but let me add something to what you said there, and for those of you who are not familiar with it. In Alexander work, at least the way I approach it, we see things directly. You know, I feel the pain. I know there's a bowling ball there, but we intervene indirectly. We try to intervene through the integrity of the whole and then see what happens. So what Robert and I have been describing just now was all part of that. I want to go back to the time when I was in the hospital. There was a device that was under, here's my knee, and there was a device underneath it like this. Mm-hmm. And I had to, every hour, pull on this device 10 times so that my leg would go up and down. And, you know, everybody's leg is pretty heavy. You know, and I was doped out of my mind, you know, trying to pull on this thing as well. But once again, if you get drawn into the action, you'll hear some Alexander teachers talk about narrowing into something. So I pull like this. It was really hard work to get my leg to go up and down. If I had the fullness of my arms springing out through here and pulled like that, yes, it was much easier, even in my stupefied state, which I was at that time, to do what the doctors wanted me to do. So that's more of a body mapping visualization, a type of thing about working with your arm structure, but it had immediate beneficial results.
Or maybe another way of saying that was your arm, it's not really your arms that need to do a whole lot of work. They're more like conduits. The bigger work is in your core, in your torso, let's say. That's pretty good advice for anyone using their arms for anything.
Oh, absolutely.
Alexander technique wise, or just in general. So that's, and I would imagine that shifting of where your idea of where the work was coming from, which is all of you, made not only it easier to do the movement, but probably made the movement a smoother one.
Yes, it did. It did.
And that was probably good for the purposes that it was designed to do.
Yeah, on a really mundane level, the less squeezing there is, the more oxygen can get through too. And I mean, you need the oxygen distributed through your bloodstream so all the good stuff can go in there and get rid of the bad stuff and ship it out.
Right. So once you were out of the hospital and back home, I know you posted a picture of yourself a few days, I think, after the operation. So you were doing stuff around the house, walking, cycling, and so on. What are some other ways that the you were able to make this whole recovery process smoother and easier?
All right. Well, there's a really, I think, intriguing one that came up. The muscles in my leg down near my knee had been adapted to protecting my knee for quite some time.
Sure.
That's what they knew how to do. And they kind of didn't remember how to do anything else.
Right.
So there's this period that I'm still going through, a period of sort of retraining, readapting, relearning, to get them oriented more around movement rather than protection. You know, there's the psychological and emotional sides to that, and there's the physical side to it as well. So what I did there was try to be as free and easy and deep with my head and spine as possible, and let my system figure things out.
Right.
You know, my job was to be very clean with my head and my spine, you know, my conscious job. And the rest of me was to suss out what to do under the new circumstances. My leg is, you know, has been changing shape because it was really swollen at the beginning, swollen much less so now. And as the swelling decreases, for a while, the pain increases. You know, the swelling is there as a protective thing. It's like having a splint, you know, on there. And I had a situation, it'll be about 10 days ago now, where I got all psyched because I'd been riding on the exercise bike and I was going to ride on my regular bicycle outside. And I did that, but it was too soon, you know. And so I had to go back a little bit, go back to the exercise bike, be easy, 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 gentle, 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 until the tissue and the muscles could really reconfigure themselves into what was necessary. I rode my bike again this last weekend and it's okay now, you know, so being, having your primary relationship, that's the words I use for it, Robert, primary relationship be central in your consciousness, I just think is a tremendous aid to healing. And, you know, I've had
And for our listeners who might not understand that phrase, could you explain a little what that means, primary?
Sure. What Alexander found was when he was sort of like this, when he was grabbing in this neighborhood, problems ensued. So the relationship between your head and your spine, if it can be as open and dynamic as possible so that you can constantly rebalance. Your spine's moving, your head's moving, you're rebalancing, you're refreshing your relationship to the earth all the time, things become easier.
Right.
So it's up in here. I mean, you've, you know, run into that with the surgery that, you know, that you underwent, you know, much.
Well, sure. And that Alexander used the phrase primary control to talk about this area. But by putting your attention here and maybe on your core as well, the knee, the leg, your legs and your knees figure out how to fit in with that, basically.
Yes.
Because the inclination would be to put your attention on that knee, right?
Right.
Because it's calling out to you all the time. But any other things that were helpful from an Alexander technique?
I think it's very early on working with breath was. That's really sort of getting a little away from where the Alexander technique is. The day or two right after the operation was very distracting, just of cause of pain and this and that and narcotics and blah, 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 blah. And so having breath as a reference to go back to was the most effective for me. It also helped with the fear. You know, the first couple of days after I got home, you know, I'd go to sleep and I'd wake up in a sweat like an hour and a half later, because the last time I went to sleep, you know, they cut open my leg, you know, and I was still carrying the residual a lot of that. And breath helped me through that as well. That's all seems to have, you know, finished by now, which is, you know, quite encouraging.
And as you move into more what I guess we could call a later phase of recovery, because you are mobile and you're able to do, I assume, quite a few ordinary activities around the house.
Oh, let me interrupt you. My one of my big days was then when I could put my pants on without leaving them on the floor and stepping into them, you know. When I could lift my leg enough that I could put them on more or less normally. So small victories, man, those are great.
So at this point, how are you using Alexander ideas to continue the
There's
process?
A way of folding and unfolding that Alexander Technique is called monkey. It's a way of, I'll just stand up for a second, coming down and going up.
Right, lowering your the height of your head, let's say.
Yeah, lowering
by bending your knees, hips, and ankle joints.
Yes, right.
In a coordinated way, right.
In a coordinated, gentle, and complete way.
Right.
That's been as a, not exactly an exercise, but really sort of a way of doing things. To do that as cleanly as possible. And for me particularly, remembering that when I bend, I don't bend like this, but rather like that, you know, with everything is spiraling through my legs.
Because your musculature is, to a large extent, spirally.
Right, and then as you go, lower and lower and lower, the molecules are and the little strands are and all of that, so that we live in a curvaceous world through my legs, and springiness is what's happened. I think that's what's put me well ahead of the game as well. I'll be
interesting that I can see how using that monkey, as it's sometimes called. Sometimes it's called position of mechanical advantage, I think. There are various
terms for it. Sometimes I'll say position of maximum possibilities, you know.
That too. That would be especially important for the kind of surgery that you had. And because it's getting you to do a kind of movement that is somewhat connected with lots of other normal kind of movements, like walking or bending over or, it's a pretty.
Yeah, the activities of daily life. Yes, absolutely.
So we're running a little bit towards the end of our time frame, but is there anything else that you'd like to say, or anything that you would like to say to someone who maybe is about to have knee surgery that would be useful information for them?
I spent probably 4 months trying to do exercises to avoid this. And going through those made my recuperation a lot easier. So if you're going to get this kind of surgery, prepare yourself physically as completely as you can, because the recovery is difficult. You know, it's doable, but it's difficult. I've had really good results. I know other people whose recovery is stretched out a lot more. We'll see what happens. You know, I expect to be playing tennis again soon, you know, first easily and then at full speed. And I expect, you know, to be able to do all that twisting and turning kind of stuff, but I haven't done it and I won't do it until the surgeon says it's okay. You know, you can, because you can go too far and, you know, I don't want to take the risk of doing that, but preparation.
Generally, what was the nature of that preparation?
These were physical therapy exercises. So there's straight leg lifts, some bent leg stuff, some things to move the joint. You know, a lot of it is trying to get the fluid in the joint and all of that. But my tissue was too compromised, so I had to get the replacement anyway. But the buildup I did has let me straighten my leg before they expected that I could, and bend it to the degree that they want, which is 120 degrees more than what earlier than they expected that I could. So that helped. I mean, I have an athletic background, so I think that helped too. But you know, do the prep; it matters.
Yeah, and I guess the message here also is that you may be using yourself really well as, say, a person who's been a teacher for many years, but you have a history. And part of that earlier history could have been some overuse or misuse that caused the
problem. Oh, 100%,
problem.
Yes, 100%, yes.
So you don't want to kick yourself for thinking, boy, I'm an Alexander teacher and I should not ever have these kind of problems.
Oh, no, if any of you think that is crazy.
It is crazy, but I have to say, there are a few Alexander Tech teachers who might take that attitude. But, So, unless you have anything else you'd like to add, this might be a good place to bring our conversation to a close.
I can say, anybody, if you want to get hold of me, look me up if you have this coming on for you. Glad to talk to you about it. Whatever might benefit you, I'm really, really happy to do it.
Oh, okay. Well, we're going to put you have a website, right?
Yeah, I have a website and email.
We'll put your website by the... There'll be a YouTube version of this and then a podcast version. So both of those, if you're contemplating knee surgery specifically, send Bob an email. He'll talk to you and he may be able to give you some pretty good advice. So on that note, my guest today is Bob Leda, an Alexander Technique teacher in the Boston area. Bob, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Oh, Robert, thanks for inviting me too. And like I said, I hope this helps somebody out.